Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Good evening, everyone. It's really a pleasure to be back here this Saturday to bring forth the Word of God. God has been good to us, and His Word is alive and active. And as His Word goes forth, we pray that many hearts will be transformed because of the power of the Word of God. We continue on the topic, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Hebrews 12:3 said, "For consider him that endure such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds." Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for this another opportunity to bring forth your word. We pray, O God, almighty Lord God, that you will continue, O God, to bring conviction to the hearts of your people. We pray, O God, that lives will be transformed, O God, as your words minister to the hearts of your people. Father, we thank you that you are at work, and you, O God, almighty Lord, are doing, O God, all that is good, because you are good and your mercy endures forever. So we thank you and we give you praise for this another opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue to look on what Jesus has gone through for us so that we do not become despondent in these trying times, but we continue to press on and endure. The Bible said in Mark 14:66-72, we are going to see here where Jesus' closest disciple, one of the closest disciples of Jesus, Peter, denied him. Peter was one of the top three. Peter, James, and John, they were the top three. And Peter denied him in Mark 14:66-72. And I'll read. "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what you says. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreed thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept." So we see where Peter denied Jesus, his master. He was one of the closest disciples, yet he denied him. He said, I know not the man. And he cursed and swore that he didn't know Jesus. Let us become aware of what Jesus has gone through, so we do not give up in these trying times. We do not become weary and give up, but we continue to press on and endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're going to see where he was put to death for no sin of his own. Jesus was put to death for no sin of his own. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So consider what he has gone through. Consider how he bore our shame, our pain, our sin, our grief, our guilt, our sicknesses, everything that was against us. He bore it on the cross for us. Consider Jesus, lest we become weary and faint in our minds. So we're going to see where he was put to death for no sin of his own. Mark 15:22-37. Mark 15:22-37. "And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garment, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the king of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Oh, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking, and among them with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. Verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. So we see where Jesus was put to death for no sin of his own. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God bore our sin on the cross. He was insulted. He was ridiculed. He was accused by the religious people that he was blaspheming against God, saying he was God's son. He was put to death for no sin of his own. The thieves on the cross, they mocked him and they jeered him. One got the revelation that he was really the Christ and asked him to forgive him. And surely he forgave him and said, Today you will be with me in paradise. So we see what Christ has gone through for us. And we also must gear up our minds to go through rough times, hard times, and be ready and willing to stand up for our faith. So we see Christ being put to death for no sin of his own. We're going to see where Christ rose from the dead in his glorified body. Death could not hold him down. He is the Prince of Life, and death couldn't hold him down. So he rose from the dead in his glorified body. Mark 16:9-15. Mark 16:9-15. And the word said, Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, the one out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto 2 of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which they had seen after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we see Jesus, they put him to death, but death couldn't hold his body down. The Holy One of Israel could not see corruption. So he rose on the third day. He rose from the dead in his glorified body. And Mark gave this clear picture of what happened. He appeared to his disciples at first. They did not believe when they heard that he was risen, even though he has been telling them for so long that he would be put to death and he would rise again from the dead, but they still did not believe that he was risen until he appeared unto them. And he scolded them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Let us open our hearts to Jesus, listen to what he's saying to us, and obey what he's saying to us. He is risen. He's no more in the grave. He is risen and he has ascended on high. So we must consider Jesus, consider what he has gone through for us, consider that he died, he rose again, and he lives forevermore. Consider where he is right now. Consider him in his exalted position right now. He ascended on high. Mark 16:19 tells us, So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So the work for mankind was finished. The redemption work was finished at the cross. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," it means man's redemption is paid for. So he's now ascended on high, and he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated at the place of authority. The word of God said he ever lived to make intercession for us. He is our mediator. He is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we want to look to him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for us, despising the shame for us. He did it all for us. He considered us. Let us also consider him, so that when trouble come, we will look to him and look to him at the place of the of authority where he's sitting. He is now ascended on high, seated at the right hand of the Father. He is in an exalted position. He is in his glorified state. So we want to call upon Jesus and know that he is willing and ready to aid us. Acts 1 verse 9 said, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So we see where he was ascended on high, and the cloud received him out of the disciples' sight. So they saw and knew that he had ascended on high. So we serve a great and wonderful God, a God who came down, loved us so much that he would come down and die for us. He died for our sins. He took our place. He loved us so much that he would come and lay down his life for us. The Bible said that he demonstrated that love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He paid the death penalty for us. So today you and I can walk in freedom. It is paid for. Our redemption is paid for. And we are not our own anymore. The word of God said we are bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can now draw nigh to God. We can now go into the throne room of God. We can now go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in the time of need. What a mighty God we serve. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. He's exalted far above all else. He is the Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Word made flesh, the Word of life. We thank God today for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority, interceding for you and I. What a privilege we do have to take everything to God in prayer. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 said, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sin, has quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So God, because of his great love towards us and his mercy, he has quickened us. He has made us alive. He has awakened us to righteousness and has placed us to sit with Jesus in heavenly places. So positionally, we are sitting with Jesus in heavenly places. And the word of God said Jesus is sitting in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. So today we are sitting with him and we are above principalities and powers. And thank God through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have power to walk in victory on this earth. So we just thank God for what Christ has done for us. And thank God for where he has placed us positionally. And thank God that through his Holy Spirit, we can also live that life that pleases him, a life of righteousness, walking in righteousness, walking in godliness, walking in honor of our King. Let us walk soberly and in this present life and give glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Colossians 3:1-3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So if we are truly risen with him, if we are risen from our old way of life, the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if we then be risen with Christ in that newness of life, let us seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let us continue to seek after God. He said in his word, if we seek him with our whole heart, we'll find him. Let us come wholeheartedly before him and seek his face and seek to be more like Jesus. Seek to go and to display his image wherever we go. We want to be like him. Our desire is to be like Jesus. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your love on Jesus, not on earthly things. All of these things on this earth are temporal. They're going to perish. But the things of God are eternal. For you are dead. Your old life now is gone. And your new life now is now hid. It's hidden with Christ in God. It's concealed. It's covered in Christ, with Christ in God. So we now have that new life. And let us walk in the newness of life, giving honor and glory to the name of Christ. The Bible tells us that he's coming back for his church. Our great and mighty King coming back for his church, the bride. John 14:1-3 said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's coming back for his church. He's coming back for his bride, the church. So let us be prepared for his coming. Colossians 3:4 said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So he's coming back. His word reminds us that he's coming back. So let us be ready and be prepared to meet him. 1 John 3:2-3 reminds us, it says, beloved, 1 John 3:2-3, beloved, now are ye, we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So John was saying, We are the sons of God. After we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, we are the sons of God. So let us be sure of who we are in Christ. Let us know that our identity in him must be intact. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. So we must know who we are in him. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, we must be certain, we must know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So consider Jesus, that he's coming back, for we shall see him as he is. And John went on to say, and every man that has this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. Every man who has this hope of seeing Jesus, of being with him forever, should purify himself. Let us go. You're asking the Lord to purify us and to help us to walk in purity. So every man that has this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. So as we see the day approaching for his coming, as we can see that all the signs are being fulfilled, we said when we see these things, we know that we must look up, for our redemption draws nigh. So he is telling us that we have to ask him, ask the Holy Spirit help in purifying ourselves so that we can be like him. Our desire is to be like Jesus. And every man that has this hope, every man that has this hope of seeing Jesus purify himself even as Christ is pure. So let us walk with purity of mind. The Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let us go around asking the Lord daily to cleanse us, daily cleansing, so we can be more and more like Jesus. The Word of God reminds us that we should be holy, for He is holy. So we want to continue living like Jesus, being like Him. We want to be living epistles that when others see us, they can see Christ in us. We want to remind ourselves that He is coming back. So let us not faint in our hearts. Let us not give up. Let us continue to persevere, Church of God. For Jesus reminds us that He's coming back. And He endured all the contradiction of sinners for us. And He died for us and rose again and lived forevermore, interceding for us. So let us live a life pleasing to Him, and let us live expecting His return. Let us live each day knowing that we are people with hope. The world has no hope, but we have hope, for our hope is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. John 15:18-23 reminds us of Jesus' word to us as He was preparing to die for us. He was also preparing us for what is to come. John 15:18-23 said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, and now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hated me hated my Father also. He that hated me hated my Father also. So the world will hate us, people of God. And let us not be alarmed when the world hates us. The world hates Jesus. The world is opposed to Jesus. The world is evil. And evil hates good. So the world will hate Jesus. And if we are in Christ, the world is going to hate us. So let us not look for the world to love us. But let us look to Jesus, knowing that He loves us enough to lay down His life for us. So let us consider what He has gone through for us, and know when persecution comes that they also persecuted Jesus. And why they are persecuting us is because they hate Jesus, and they will hate Jesus's followers. John 16:33, the word of God said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So remember Jesus' words to us before He left, that we should be take His peace on us. Take His peace, His complete peace. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have complete peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have a lot of distress, a lot of frustration, a lot of trials, a lot of testing. You're going to have that. We're going to have that in the world. We shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be strong. Be undaunted. Be confident in your faith in Christ Jesus. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have deprived the world of its power against you. So we, the Church of God, are strong in Christ Jesus because He has won the victory for us. So be of good cheer. That's what Christ is saying to the church right now. For He overcame the world for us. The world does not love us. The world will not love us because they do not love Christ Jesus. So let us rest in God's words, and let us know that God is calling us to that place of trust in Jesus. Putting all our trust in Him, for He is the rock of our salvation. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He is our strong tower. He is our hiding place. In him we hide. The word of God said we are hid with Christ in God. So we must know where we are in him and stay hidden, stay in Christ and walk by faith and not by sight. Trust in his word. Trust in his promises. John 17 and verse 11, the word of God says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." So Christ prayed for us that we will be united as his people, and that the Father, the Holy Father, will keep us in this world. We are going through trying times, but God is in the midst of us. We shall not be moved. In verse 15, the word of God said, verse 15 of John 17, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world," verse 16, "even as I am not of the world." 17 said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So Jesus prayed for us, church, and Jesus' prayer still stands today. He prayed that the Father would keep us, not to take us out of the world, but to keep us in this world, keep us from evil, reminding us that we are not of the world, and that God is going to sanctify us, keep us separated from the world by his word. His word is truth. So let us go forth with confidence. Let us know who we are in Christ. Let us consider what God has done for us. And let us not faint in these trying times. Many are giving up, but God is saying to us today, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let us put on the whole armor that we will be able to fight against every wiles of the enemy. Let us stand strong in these evil days. And having done all, we will still be standing when we put on the whole armor of God, reminding ourselves of what Christ has done for us, considering him that he endured the contradiction of sinners, as Hebrews 12:3 states, against himself, lest we become weary and faint in our minds. We do not want to faint in our minds, people of God. We want to finish well. We want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I trust that you have enjoyed this series and consider Jesus. And I pray that we will just hide these words in our hearts, that we will not sin against God, because his word reminds us that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. His word will guide us and will keep us. God bless you here today. And we pray as we continue in the next series that you will continue to be excited about the word of God and be ignited to walk in holiness and according to the will of God. God bless you and thank you all for listening. We'll come back next week with more of the word of truth. Blessings.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. This is God.